The emergence of artificial intelligence technologies like ChatGPT has generated a new level of public awareness around AI and its potentially transformative use cases. But how is this technology shaping the future of ESG data gathering and assessment?
What we're doing is creating the tools and empowering our colleagues to use their knowledge, use their expertise to create a system that's robust, that scales, and that can gather more insights than they would have managed to gather if they were not using AI. This is the broad spectrum of things. AI shouldn't be feared, but it should be used to help improve our daily work.
That's Andre Hara, Senior Manager of Data Science at Morningstar Sustainalytics. He and Killian Thiel, Associate Director of Intelligent Process Automation, share their thoughts on how artificial intelligence is used in the world of ESG research. With growing concerns over businesses' environmental and social impacts and their increasingly complex supply chains, Morningstar Sustainalytics thematic research team examines the potential risk areas companies and investors should be aware of. We're looking at these issues and more in this episode of ESG in Conversation. I'm your host, Melissa Chase. Let's dive right in. In recent years, AI technology has seemingly made its way into almost every sector of the economy, with promises to fundamentally change the ways in which we work. The same is true for the ESG research space. Some companies are new to this, while others have already been leveraging AI to support ESG assessments for decades. Today, I'm joined by Killian Thiel, Associate Director, Intelligent Process Automation, and Andre Hara, Senior Manager of Data Science at Morningstar Sustainalytics, to discuss how developments in AI technology could impact the world of corporate ESG assessments. Hi, Killian. Hi, Andre. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me here, Melissa. So I'm Killian, and I'm an associate director in the Research and Development Lab at Morningstar Sustainalytics. There, I focus on researching new ways to deploy AI in the organization. And as of recently, I'm collaborating with Andre Hara, who's also on the call, in Project Apollo, the large automation project.
And Andre?
Thank you as well. So it's a pleasure being here. I'm Andre Hara. I'm working in Sustainalytics since 2019, and currently I'm a senior manager in the ESG data technology team, where I lead AI artificial intelligence research and development team, where we create the technologies that enable our company to infuse automation within its processes.
Thank you both for joining the show today. So to start off, we've heard a lot about artificial intelligence, particularly generative AI programs like ChatGPT. But for those of our listeners who might not be familiar, can you give us a quick overview of some of the most common forms of AI and how they're being used currently?
There are many different ways to classify AI models. And so I would just take one way that is probably most impactful to end users. And that would be the modality or the kind of data the models operate on. So here we could look at image models or vision models, such as DALL-E or MIDI vision, that can generate images or even video in some cases. There are speech models that can be used to synthesize speech. So there's, for example, by OpenAI Whisper, or there's Kali. And then third, and probably currently most importantly, there are text and language models. So these models are generative and can operate in a QA setting where the end user asks a question and the model answers this question. And these models are very powerful because they are trained on vast amount of text data. And another advantage of this is that they don't require the user to pre-train them, but rather they already work even if they're just supplied with one or two examples. We call that one or few shot learning. So that's what makes them so increasingly powerful and important in the current discourse.
I would just continue what Killian was saying. And looking at AI in our current environment, we've been surrounded by AI since probably the mid-50s. One of the first AI systems that has been used and deployed at scale was OCR system, optical character recognition system, used by the U.S. Post office to read numbers and read characters from envelopes and automatically use this information when delivering and distributing mail. So this has happened since the mid-60s. It became widespread. And later, with the dawn of the internet and a lot of technology that has reached our pockets right now, we are surrounded by AI as well when talking about social media, movies, e-commerce, all these sorts of systems that recommend something to you. They are most likely AI systems. Our lives have already been influenced by AI systems without us even knowing about it. AI has been helping humanity for a long time now. ChatGPT and the systems we're seeing right now, the interest in the systems that we're seeing right now have just been probably the most recent things that have made it to the mainstream media.
Yeah, that's pretty surprising actually to learn that, you know, we've been sort of in a world using AI since the 60s, as you said, for such mundane things as postal services, but that's really surprising. How would you say that these AI programs or models are being leveraged in the world that we're in, which is ESG research and learning about companies' exposure to environmental, social, and governance issues and their management of those issues?
I can mostly talk about our company and organization. So here at Morningstar Sustainalytics, we have several systems that are already in production. We have some capabilities at spotting incidents and events automatically based on news headlines. So there is a system that can automatically detect if there are events that could later on increase, for example, exposure to ESG issues for companies based on a news headline. Apart from this, we also have many so-called estimation models. These models are used in cases where companies don't disclose their ESG management. And in these cases, we use these models to sort of fill in the gap and provide a complete picture to our customers. So, of course, when we do that, we always signal that this is indeed an estimation and not reported data by a company. Third, I would say text generation. So once we have all management indicators for a company, we have also the ESG exposure and aforementioned events. These different building blocks are aggregated in the form of text. And here we have some systems that can automatically generate these texts. So there are some simple combinatory systems that merely put together different predefined paragraphs, but we also dwell into more complex generative models that are based on GPT-based architectures mentioned before.
So AI technologies in analytics and probably looking at the broader ESG space have seen an emergence during the past months and the past years since the emergence of large language models and the widespread and a wide scale availability of these systems towards any other users or companies, and especially given the ESG space that we're seeing here. ESG research is basically at scale, looking at unstructured data, trying to collect facts, and trying to make some predictions or estimations or gain some insights, see if a company abides by certain ESG principles or not. So the main problem or the main technical task for us as an ESG company is to do this at scale. And lately, as AI technologies have emerged, we've managed to create and produce systems that can do this at a larger scale. We're talking about the GPT systems, which are able to create texts, generate something. We've all played with ChatGPT. We know that these systems have the ability to answer questions, to look at facts, propose an answer. One of the things that I think a lot of ESG researchers have been doing, us included, given this capabilities and these technologies, were to make sure that the products that we are building are fact-based. So we don't leave AI systems to make their own decisions. We create systems so as even if an AI system has produced a certain bit of information, apart from signaling it that, yes, this is AI produced, we also make sure to provide users with subsequent facts on which this output was produced. So we're not leaving AI systems to create their own outputs. We're not leaving AI systems to create or synthesize information with AI technologies.
You mentioned Project Apollo that Sustainalytics is currently involved in. How long have we been sort of employing AI models in their various forms as part of our research process?
We've been creating AI systems for about 10 years now. Some of these systems have ended up into production, have aided our colleagues in curating information, like news articles, which come and are fed to our news providers. We make sure that just the right amount of news articles make it to people. That's one thing that we've been tackling for these years. Another thing would be helping produce content for companies that were not supported by human researchers. So right now, 10 years later, we've expanded our capabilities. So starting from a few systems here and there towards creating an entire infrastructure and an entire methodology in which we not only produce these systems, these AI systems, but we also collaborate with content experts, with AI engineers, with machine learning operations, with other wonderful people like Killian here, helping us put these systems through their paces, make sure that these systems are relevant enough. They're always up to date when it comes to the quality that they need to abide in order to keep the standards high for our customers. So although we started 10 years ago, we're quite happy where we've reached in 2024.
That's excellent. So in terms of the end user, in our case, institutional investors, asset managers, asset owners, banks, other financial market participants, what would you say is like the impact or the outcome of this AI technology in the research space? How has this technology helped us to create data and metrics that these end users can then incorporate into their investment processes?
So I think Andre already has mentioned a great part of that, or maybe the most important one, and that is coverage and scale. Yeah. While in the past, this process was mainly or almost exclusively driven by manual, often qualitative research, we now can ramp up the scale because we can use the formerly created manual research as training data, and we can use the models to create this at a scale, or at least to provide suggestions. Because many of our clients, they say, hey, you know what you're doing, it's great. So it's great to have coverage of the large cap American, European companies. But what about, say, small, medium enterprises in Northern Italy? Mm. Like, what is the coverage there? That is something that you just can't do by means of a purely manual process. So of course, then you have to say there's a certain coverage that we can achieve, a certain throughput. This is kept by the number of people that do this very important and detailed research. But that is something that has just became possible as of recently to just ramp up the scale here. Mm-hmm.
In terms of AI in the research space, what do each of you think is on the horizon?
So what I see here is mainly the potential to provide more targeted data. So instead of just researching a fixed set of companies, indicators, events, and then writing a long report that is then sent to customers, it could also happen the other way around, that customers ask about things or indicators, companies that weren't even on our radar yet. Mm. But in the future, it is conceivable that those would then be generated on the fly. Mm. And that would lead to far more targeted data bundles and products.
I would just probably add a few bullet points here. So automation is something that AI enables. We call it artificial intelligence, but in reality, it's just math. We call it intelligence because it mimics human behavior. And we call it artificial because we create it. Automation isn't something new. It's just a way of mimicking human behavior in a very clearly defined process. So having more powerful AI systems in place, and we see the emergence of new AI systems probably on a monthly basis, this is something that's just going to enhance the ESG research space. Whether we're talking about Sustainalytics or other companies, this is going to be probably one of the hot topics that we're going to see in the near future. Again, Killian mentioned the fact that scaling our products is something that we cannot do unless we employ the aid of AI technologies. So given the fact that we create a certain patterns of research, certain projects and products we design in such a way that can be scaled up only through technology. So this is something that we're definitely going to see in the near future. And something new, which we cannot foresee, is going to be something that will be based on deeper and more profound insights that AI technology is going to enable us to collect. I'll just give you an example where medical doctors were studying certain effects of certain drugs for some patients. Using an AI system based on a graph neural network, they managed to find a completely unrelated drug which had increasingly beneficial results towards a patient suffering from a specific disease. So that was something that human doctors and people wouldn't have thought, never ever. But having this amount of high quality information, using it through statistical systems like AI systems, you can get deeper insights and correlations between certain data points. So I think this is going to happen in the ESG space. AI will help steer us towards creating new products, towards discovering new insights on the world we live in today.
Great. Is there anything else that you'd like the audience to know, or like a key takeaway that our listeners should know about AI and its use in the ESG research space?
Many people fear AI, and people fear that machines might take over. People fear all sorts of things. Machines would take over their jobs. This is probably one of the biggest fears that people have. Now, having worked with these systems for nearing a decade now, having worked in my previous positions in other companies, and having worked in developing autonomous driving systems, and right now in automating ESG research, my perspective for the future is that AI shouldn't be feared. AI is a wonderful tool. Like we've said previously, it can help us by mimicking a certain pattern or a certain behavior or a certain thought process. But this is something that people, ESG researchers, data brokers, people that work with large scale amounts and large chunks of information, this is something that they can leverage. And one of the things that we're trying to do in Sustainalytics, and we're quite happy with where we are right now, is to create the tools to enable content experts to create their own AI systems. So I am not an ESG researcher. I don't know the ins and outs of all the minute details of every ESG topic. But we have people with this embedded knowledge and years of experience behind them. So what we're doing is creating the tools and empowering our colleagues to use their knowledge, use their expertise to create a system that's robust, that scales, and that can gather more insights than they would have managed to gather if they were not using AI. This is the broad spectrum of things. AI shouldn't be feared, but it should be used to help improve our daily work.
Great. Thank you both for your perspective on this. It's a super interesting topic. It's great to understand a bit more about how AI is being used in the ESG research space. Thank you again for joining the show, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa.
In a recent series of ESG Spotlight reports, Morningstar Sustainalytics thematic research team explored the ESG risks and potential investment opportunities related to global supply chains. The first report, Supply Chain Incidents, Understanding the Impacts, examines incidents related to supply chain issues across categories, sectors, and regions. As part of the ESG risk ratings methodology, Sustainalytics tracks incidents and events involving companies that have a negative impact on stakeholders and the environment. Overall, more than 6,000 supply chain incidents were tracked during the study period, with the most significant and frequent controversies related to employee human rights, deforestation, and labor relations. When key suppliers were involved in such incidents, it can affect both the operations and reputations of multiple downstream partners, leading to widespread market impacts. The next report, Supply Chain Incidents, Unlocking Human Rights in Corporate Supply Chains, outlines a framework for surveying company risks related to human rights and assessing portfolio exposure to these issues. Currently, 50 million people live in some form of modern slavery, and 22 million are subjected to forced labor. So it's critical that companies are aware of what's happening in their supply chains and have processes to monitor and remedy such human rights violations. Supply chain human rights violations are tied to a wide range of consumer good products, posing financial, legal, and reputational risks to major brands. The assessment framework outlined in this report suggests investors evaluate companies' controversy records, management policies, material ESG issues, and supplier locations to better understand portfolio risk exposure to human rights issues in supply chains. The final report in the series, called Biodiversity in the Balance, Hedging Portfolio Risks, surveyed the material risks that companies involved in activities linked to land use and biodiversity could pose to investors. The report finds that while many commodities companies are directly involved in such activities, even more are exposed through their supply chains. Using a series of model consumer sector portfolio strategies, the authors found that investing in companies facing high levels of biodiversity risk could have a significant effect on long-term portfolio performance. The results of these reports show that the state of a company's supply chain can affect its financial performance and the returns that investors can expect to receive, making it a key point of exploration for investors globally. To learn more about the topics discussed in this episode, click the links in the show notes or visit Sustainalytics.com. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at Sustainalytics on X and Morningstar Sustainalytics on LinkedIn and Facebook. Have a question or a topic you'd like us to cover on the show? Email us at podcast@Sustainalytics.com. Thanks for joining me on this episode of ESG in Conversation. Until next time.
Copyright 2023 Sustainalytics, a Morningstar company. All rights reserved. Sustainalytics does not assess current market trends, legal or regulatory developments, but only opines on recent ESG-relevant developments. The information and data contained herein are proprietary of Sustainalytics and/or third-party content providers. These are intended for informational, non-commercial use only, and may not be copied, distributed, or used in any other way, including via citation. They are not directed to, or intended for distribution to or use by, India-based clients or users, and their distribution to Indian resident individuals or entities is not permitted. These do not constitute an endorsement of any product, project, investment strategy, or consideration of any particular environmental, social, or governance-related issues as part of any investment strategy, nor an investment advice or expert opinion, are not part of any offering and do not constitute an offer or indication to buy or sell securities, and have not been submitted to nor received approval from any relevant regulatory bodies. Sustainalytics assumes no responsibility for the reliability, completeness, or accuracy of any opinion provided herein, and makes no representation or warranty as to any of the information, including without limitation, any representation or warranty that the information or any portion of it is accurate, complete, or suitable for a particular purpose. Neither Sustainalytics or Morningstar nor its content providers are responsible for any damages or losses arising from any use of this information, and use is subject to conditions available at www.sustainalytics.com/legal-disclaimers.